Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
jazakallah khair. Thanks for attending over here. Hopefully this will be beneficial in the knowledge. I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you much in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread the knowledge much. Inna alhamdulillahi nasta'inu wa nasta'afiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. May yahtihillahu wa la mudillalah wa may yudlil wa la hadiyalah. Inna khaira kalam kalamullah. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. So just to summarize what Imam Faisal had mentioned before, what we have is we have two different ways to calculate the minimal amount of the zakah. If you look at the currency that we have, the dollars, one way to look at it is we could say that it's based on the gold currency. Because if you look in the history of the dollar, you find in the beginning, many, many years ago, they used to have the gold backed up by the dollar. In Fort Knox in Tennessee, if you look at the American history, for every dollar that was out there, they had the gold backed up in the fort there in Fort Knox. But then afterwards, you know, they printed more, and so now that's not the case. So some people, they would say it's based on the gold. And then on the silver, if you look at the Quran, فَبْأَثُوا أَهَدَكُمْ بِوَرِكِكُمْ هَذَا. You know, take this, warik, paper, and this refers to the money, and it refers to the silver. So some people, they would look at the currency as based on the silver. So anyway, what we have is we have two different ways of looking at what's the minimal amount. So now let me ask you a question. When you look at the two different views, is it better for a person to be generous or better for a person to be miserly? What's the answer? The generous, right? So when we look at these answers, you know, if you look at what's the minimal amount that the zakah is due, you know, certainly it's better for a person to spend the zakat for the sake of Allah, know, than to be miserly and, you know, not pay. So, you know, that was what we had covered in the, you know, the previous question. And again, you know, the zakat is what's due to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it's not something that, you know, it's appropriate for a person to conceal it and hide it. You know, because Allah knows. You know, Allah knows what a person they have. So the people, they have to pay it, you know, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Okay, so let's go on to the next question. Question of the fourth one on paying zakah in advance as monthly payments to poor families. Okay, on this issue, the scholars over there in Dawal Iftah, they said there's nothing wrong with paying the zakah in advance. So that's the view of many of the ulama. They say if a person, they pay in zakah in advance, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, because, you know, this is what a person they owe for the sake of Allah Azza. However, in the school of Imam Malik, he says that one should not pay the zakah in advance until the whole year has passed. Because it might be that, you know, if a person, let's say a person, they paid it in the middle of the term, after 6 months. Then after a couple months later, maybe he's out all this money. So then he had given, you know, something that was not due on him. So that's the reasoning that Imam Malik, he says that it's good for a person to wait until, you know, the whole term is finished, 1 year that's finished, then, you know, to pay the zakah after. Now the question comes up, this is an important issue, when does the year start? When does the whole start, the time of the year? And the answer to this is when they reach the nisab, the minimal amount. You know, like we were reading before, the nisab of silver is like $600. So the person, they start out, they might have $100, next month they have $200, $300. Then when they reach the minimum amount, that's when it starts. That's when it starts, when they reach the minimum amount. And then if they keep that amount for 1 year, 1 year after, that's when it becomes due. Like, let's say, for example, a person, they're earning the money, and then the 15th of Ramadan, you know, they have, you know, more than the $612, so $650 they have, for example. Then the person, they wait until the next Ramadan, no, and if he still has that much, then the zakat is due during that time, the 6 months after. Now, let's say the person, they have, you know, the 15th of Ramadan, they have $650. But the next 15th of Ramadan, they have $6,000. Okay? So what should he pay it on? Should he pay it on the $600 or the $6,000? So over here, you have the difference of opinion in the ulama. Ikhtilaf in the ulama. Now, some of the ulama, they say that you go by, you know, the original amount. Some of the ulama, they say you go by
final.
The final amount. Now, so you see, if you look at what the scholars, they say in the different madahib, you know, they would say when the nisab, when you have the minimal amount, that's when the time frame starts. And then when you go to pay it, you look at what you have currently. So look at the amount that you have currently, and you pay it based on the amount that you have currently. And that would be the best way to follow. That way a person, they're not miserly, they're more generous. No, because a zakah person, they should not feel that the zakah is a burden on oneself. No, this is for the sake of Allah. No, a person, they're given for the sake of Allah, and Allah will give a lot of reward for the person. So you have those two things. You have the minimal amount that you have to give, and then you have the whole. You have the whole amount. Now the other question comes up. Let's say the person, they had that $650 in the 15th of Ramadan. Then in Dhul Hijjah, it goes down to zero. And then it goes back up again. So over here also there's a difference of opinion in the ulama, whether it resets when it goes down to zero or whether you have look at it at that same exact date afterwards. But the view of the majority of the ulama, they say that the whole restarts if it goes below the nisab. Is that clear on that? Is that clear on that? Okay. But there is a view on some of the ulama, if you look at the madahib, they say it doesn't reset. You start with, you know, the beginning date and you end on the ending date. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. But anyway, you know, over here, the question asks, can you pay the zakah in advance? And yes, you can pay the zakah in advance. They're just, Imam Malik, he gives that view that, you know, a person, they might not be certain that, you know, that they'll have the full amount when the term is up. So then it's better to wait until the term comes and then pay it afterwards. That way a person, they can be sure, you know, that the amount didn't become less. You know, that the amount is still due. And likewise, if you look at the next question, you know, can a person delay the payment of the zakah to seek out those that deserve it? And the answer is, it is permissible. So, you know, that should be very, you know, logical. You know, if a person, they owe the zakah, they didn't pay it on that exact day that it's due, then of course, you know, they got to pay it afterwards. And if it becomes owed on the person, they have to pay it afterwards. So, like, for example, on that 15th of Ramadan, after the year comes, you know, then the person, they can see how much they owe in the zakah, and then they owe that much to pay in the zakah. So they have to pay that, you know, sometime afterwards. That becomes due on the person. And even if the person passes away, then the inheritors, they have to pay that amount on the zakah. Now this question comes up. Let's say that somebody loaned some money to somebody. They loaned some money to somebody. Do they have to pay the zakah on that or not? The money that they loaned to somebody. So some of the ulama, they say, that when a person, they get that money back, no, then they pay the zakah on it. And even in some of the madahib, they say, you pay it in all the years retroactively. So if you loan, like, let's say that you loaned, like, you know, $1,000 to somebody, and then 10 years later, you know, he gives it back to you. So then you have to pay the zakah for all those 10 years. That's in the view of some of the madahib. So that's where, you know, you can pay it back afterwards. And then the issue comes up, who did you loan the money to? You know, is the person likely to pay you back, or is he not likely to pay you back? So if the person is not likely to pay you back, then of course, you know, you don't have to pay the zakat on it. You don't have that wealth. You know? But then if he does pay you back somehow or another, you know, then, you know, the zakat becomes due on it. So that's the view of some of the ulama. You pay it on every year. The view of the other ulama, they say, you just pay it on the 1 year when you get it back. You don't have to pay it back on all those years. So if somebody, they owed you money for 50 years and then finally got it 50 years later, then when you get it, you just pay on that 1 year that you got it from.
You pay after you get it, you wait a year, and then you pay it on that money. Just like
that's a view, right, yes, that's a view of some of the scholars. They say that because the person owes it to you, but you don't have it in your possession.
Right.
And then when you have it in your possession and it's counted, No, that's your money. So you can pay the zakah before the time, and you can pay the zakah after the time.
I think I was reading here, it said also they say that if you can't find anybody to accept it.
Right, yes. We're going to talk about that as well. That's another issue too. Because what happens is that when you look at the sadaqah you can give to anybody. You know, even a smile is sadaqah. You know, like we see in you know, walk into the masjid is sadaqah. But the zakah, the rules are very specific. There's eight categories, you know, that can receive the zakah. And nobody besides them. So that's another issue. If a person, if they have the zakah, and you know, they should try to find those people that are acceptable to receive the zakah. That's another issue too. So you know, if a person, if they delay paying it, you know, to seek out those deserving it, you know, that's something that's also the sheikh, he said, it is permissible. But the thing is, you know, a person should not say, okay, I didn't pay the zakah this year, you know. 2 years passed by, 3 years, okay, I don't have to pay the zakah now, it's too late. No, you still have to pay it, you know, which is not cut it off, and, you know, erase the, you know, because this is due from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if the person, they don't pay the zakah, then they'll be responsible on the day of judgment. And the other thing also is, you know, what you find mentioned in the Quran, there are people that deserve the zakah, but you find that they don't ask people for it. You know, you find there's a lot of people like that. They're very poor people. You know, but they don't ask people. They don't, you know, request it from people. So that's something that's good to give it to them. And the other thing about the zakah is, it's important to learn these rules. So, I repeat this many times, but this is very important. You know, that a person, they give it to the right place. Because if a person, they don't give it to the right place, then, you know, it's not, no, it's something wrong in paying the zakah. Hmm. No. Did you have a...
What about delaying the payment at Stinginess?
No, hopefully the... stinginess will change inshallah after, so make the dua for the person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the person generous, not stingy. Does anybody speak Urdu over here?
Yes.
Do you know how you say bukhul?
Yes.
In Urdu? Say kanjusara, right? Kanjusara. Right, so if somebody's like that, then, you know, we hope we change them inshallah to become generous after inshallah. Well, hopefully after they pay it, then inshallah we'll resolve them on what they did, inshallah. But the thing is, you know, a person, they have to pay that zakah, they can't just cut it off and say, okay, I'm not going to pay, because this is an obligation by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, like I had mentioned before, the zakah, it's something that relieves the hearts of the poor people, because sometimes the poor people, they're very, you know, they have a lot of grudges inside them, a lot of anger, and then, you know, when you give them the zakah, then that is removed from them. And, you know, they have the fire of the shaitan is removed from their hearts, and, you know, all the Muslimun are, you know, brothers and sisters. Now, and then the other issue is, like, you know, if you look in the books of fiqh, when it talks about the zakah, it's recommended to keep it in the same area, the same area. Like, for example, here in the United States, you know, if you look in the books of zakah, it says you should keep it in the same area. But if you can't find anybody, you know, in this area, then it would be allowed to give it overseas. So that's another thing that's mentioned in the books of fiqh. And if a person, they didn't pay their zakah, then they should pay it. They should pay the zakah. Now,
the poor people, they see the wealth.
Yes.
So you would want you want to give it to those poor people, right? Because they're the ones who are affected by the fitna of seeing that wealth. Mm. So that's why it's better to keep it locally, because they're the ones that are find the ill feeling in their hearts.
Well, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said, take the money from the wealthy of them and give it to the poor of them. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered for the different rulers of the different lands, you know, to keep the wealth within the same area. And, but still, what happened is in some places, you know, the people there were too wealthy, so they sent it back to, you know, to Omar and the other Khalifa. So that's what you find if you read it. But it should be kept in the same area, inshallah. So, you know, that's what you find in the books of fiqh.
What if there's like an earthquake or a flood in a different land? People really desperately
need. No. Well, certainly a person should help them out, but the thing is, the zakah is what's obligatory and due on a person. So for that, a person, they can give the sadaqah, you know, for the people there in the other lands. But you know, if in one area there's not people that are deserving in one area, then it's allowed to give it to the other areas.
What if you have relatives overseas that are poor?
Yes. Yes.
Is it okay to send it to them?
Yes, yes. That's one of the specific questions that the ulama were asked. They said that, you know, I have relatives but they're not here, can I give the zakat to them? And they said it's allowed to give them the zakat. So that's where the exception is. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in the same area if a person, they have poor relatives overseas. So that's what's mentioned. If you read in the books of fiqh, it goes through, you know, a lot of details. Okay. Now, the other thing is, you know, when you look at the zakat, a person, they should not be repulsive to pay it. You know, this is for the sake of Allah. So not like, you know, over here when you see the taxes over here, somebody, they don't pay the taxes and, you know, they send the, you know, the people in the court to collect from them and seize things and like that. That's not how the zakat should be. The zakat is for the sake of Allah, so and the person, they should be happy. You know, miskinan wa yatiman, they give they feed the poor out of the love. No, and there's two views of this ayah. The love, he could refer to Allah, out of the love for Allah, and the other view, the love for the wealth, when they feed the poor because they love it so much. And lan tanalu albirra hatta tunfikuna ma tuhibbun, you won't achieve the righteousness until you spend on what you love. So you know, the zakah, a person, they should give it willingly and not look at it as something that's forced upon them. So a person, they can delay it, it is permissible. And the other thing is also, you know, there's a lot of rules in the zakah, so certainly you should come and ask Imam Faisal over here if you have any questions and, you know, issues about the zakah, to make sure that it's done properly. And that's something that's very important, inshallah. Okay, so let's go to the next one. This is an important issue here. The next question, does the debt exempt one from paying zakah? Let's say, you know, the person, they have some cash on them. They have, like, you know, if they have a bank account, they have $10,000 in their bank account, and they had it for a long time. But then, let's say a person, they had a house, and they have the mortgage on the house, and for sake of keeping things halal, let's say that's a halal mortgage, you know, not one based on riba, and the person owed $50,000 on the house. So then if you look at, you know, the total amount that the person they have $10,000 in the bank, and they owe $50,000 on the mortgage. So that would mean that the person, he's negative $40,000. So in this case here, does the person have to pay the zakah or not on the $10,000? Okay, so that's basically the question on that. The person, they have a debt, but he has the money with him, you know, does he have to pay the zakah on it or not? So the answer to this, there's two views of the ulama. There's ikhtilaf in the madahib. In the Hanafi school, people that follow Imam Abu Hanifa, he says they don't have to pay it. No, because he says that the person they owe, you know, they owe the 50,000, and they have 10,000, that means they owe 40,000. So he's still below, you know, he's still below the minimum amount. He's actually below zero, actually, because he's in debt. So it says he does not have to pay it. However, the Shafi school, they say, no, he has to pay it because he has that in his possession. He has that 10,000, that's his, he possesses it, and he has to pay the zakat on it. And that's also the view of the ulama here in Darul Ifta and the ulama of Saudiya. They say that a person, they still have to pay the zakat on it. And, you know, again, if we look at that principle that I mentioned earlier, you know, should a person be miserly or should a person be generous? You know, Of course, a person, they should be generous for the sake of Allah's order.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
They have a, but he has mortgage, if he's older daughter.
Yes.
But also he has a property.
Yes, yes, there's another issue too. Yes.
Equity on that.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's why I think they say have to pay.
Right, yes, yes. So that's another issue too. A person is actually, you know, buying that property, that's why he has a mortgage on that property. But anyway, when you look at the zakah is only on specific things. You know, even if a person they have a lot of property, the zakah is not due on it. No? Even if a person has 100 houses and no cash, no zakah is due on it. Because it's not, you know, the total amount of wealth that a person may have, but the zakah is on specific things. And on a property, the zakah is not due except if it's considered to be merchandise, like in the store, then the zakah is due on it. So in this case here, if a person, you know, you might say that he might have the house, but the zakah is not due on the house. But anyway, this is the view of many of the ulama, most of the ulama, including the ulama of Darul Ifta. They say you still have to pay the zakah. Even if you do owe that debt and you owe that mortgage on the house, you know, you still pay it because you have that, that you have that in your possession. So if a person, if they have, like, let's say they have $20,000 cash, you know, in their bank account, and they owe a mortgage on their house for $50,000, they should still pay the zakah on the $20,000. That's the view that they have, the ulama and Darul Ifta. Okay, let's go back to this question. Yes, sir.
What is the conclusion? Who is going to follow? Going to follow the, you're going to pay, or you're going to follow who does say you don't want to pay if you have a mortgage, 50,000 in 10 or 20,000?
Yes. So it depends on where a person they learnt, you know, their knowledge from, who their sheikh is. Who's your sheikh? Who do you follow? Follow Imam Faisal? So you can ask him what his...
I'm Shafi.
Oh, okay, you follow Shafi. Okay,
but,
I see.
But they give us different view.
Yes, yes.
So I have to follow my Imam?
Yes. No, what happens is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he got the message from Allah azawajal. He got the guidance from Allah azawajal. And what happened is there are different pathways that go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he caused the knowledge to spread throughout the world on these different pathways. So depending on which pathway a person they follow to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they follow by those rules. And if a person, if they learn the knowledge of more than one way, then none of them are wrong. A person can follow, you know, any one of those ways. But the thing comes up is most people, they have an overload of knowledge. You know, so if you go to most people, tell them, this, then, you know, that's too much knowledge. So a person, usually what they do is they follow their sheikh. They follow the pathway that they learned from their teacher, and they could go by that. But if a person, they learn the other ways, it's sufficient to follow any of the other ways. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. And also, you know, when people, when they learn the ilm, in the beginning they'll learn only from their sheikh, you know, the school of their sheikh. But then when a person, they learn more and more knowledge, you know, they can learn the views from the other ulama, the other schools and other pathways. So you could follow any one of them. But again, you know, like I asked before, is it better to be miserly or better to be generous? You know, the answer is better to be generous. You know? Okay. Now, and the other thing about the house, you know, this is pertaining to this issue. Let's say a person, they has a mortgage on the house. Usually a mortgage is like 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years. And let's say a person, they finished paying off the house and they own the house. Is there zakat on that house after? No. There's not zakat on the house. Because there's specific things that the zakat are on. You know, and what what's zakatable is the gold and silver currencies. You know, it's not on property unless it's considered to be merchandise. And then in the case of the other debts, you know, just talking about this issue of the debt, one of the questions that, you know, the sheikh, the ulama was asked, the person said, I have a debt and I want to go to Hajj. You know, can I go to the Hajj or not? Or should I go to the Hajj or not? So the sheikh, he gave the answer. He says that if you think you can pay the debt off, then by all means go to the Hajj. But if you think that you can't pay the debt off, then you have to pay the debt first. You know, that's the answer to the sheikh. I believe Sheikh bin Baz, he had that that question. So a person, you know, looking in the other cases, a person they should look at, you know, the situation of how much they owe, you know, and try their best to pay off their debt. But if the person physically have that cash, and this is the view of you know, these ulama here, if they have those dollars, you know, then they should pay the zakah on it. And the other issue is also on the other, well, we talked about this in the previous question. Let's say a person, they don't have a debt, but they gave loans to people. You know, do they have to pay the zakat on it or not? So over here, if you look in the books of fiqh, you find there's many different views on it. And also it depends on whether one's likely to get back that debt or not. And whether it's likely that they're going to pay it back or they're going to default on paying it back. So many of the ulama, they say that you wait until you get repaid back. If you don't think that you're going to get it back, you wait, and then you pay the zakah on it. But if it's like a debt that you can receive any time, like you give it to, you know, somebody that's quite wealthy, you know, you can get any time you go and ask them, you can get it back, then many of the ulama, they say, you do pay the zakah on it, you know, because you can receive it back any time. And the other thing is a lot of people, they own a car. Do you have to pay zakah on a car? No. You don't pay zakah on a car, except if it's for sale. Then it's considered to be merchandise, and you kept it more than 1 year, then you would say the zakah. But the zakah is on specific things. It's not on everything. And the other thing also is, the person, if they pay more, that's better for the person than to pay less. And also, the other thing, I just want to go through these points here. The zakah is, we have to follow the rules that Allah gave. It's not by the feelings. It's not by how one feels. You have to go by the rules in the fiqh, as what was taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not by one's own self. You know, if the person, if they do something and they say, oh, okay, oh, I fulfill my zakah, that's not correct. No, it's not by one's own self. It's the laws that Allah gave. Now, and the other thing as well, a person, they should not be reluctant, they should not be averse to paying the zakah, because it's for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah will repay the person back many times over. And that's something that's very important for us, you know, like Allah says, Imam Faisal mentioned earlier, Allah mentioned in many places in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. So we have to guard our prayers, and we have to guard in giving the zakat as well. Okay, let's go to the next question here. This is a very interesting question here. Is it permissible to deduct taxes from zakat? This is something that's here. So over here, you know, people, they go to work, and what they do is they take the taxes out. At the end of the year, you fill out a tax return form, 1040. And then you pay a certain amount in the taxes. Can you consider that to be the zakah? And the answer is no, it's not permissible. It's not permissible.
Taxes as your zakah?
Right, yes. That's the question. Yeah, really. So, like, you know, every paycheck, you know, they withhold a certain amount of money, and at the end of the year, a person, they pay so much in the taxes. Can that be counted as a zakah? The answer is no, it cannot be counted as a zakah. And the ulama, they say that the reason for that is because a zakah, it has to go to specific places. It has to go to specific categories of people. And when they take the taxes out and you pay your taxes, it doesn't go to those specific places. It goes to, you know, things from the government, you know. Some of the taxes, it goes to collect the garbage, you know, in the city, right? So. Now, so, you know, it's that's something that's obligatory on a person to pay the zakah, and they cannot consider the taxes they pay, they cannot deduct, you know, the amount that they pay the taxes on the zakah. And the other thing is, when you look at your taxes, it's not based on what you own, it's based on what you earned. But the zakah, it's not on what you earned, you know, it's on what you own, so that's another issue too. No, and the other thing is what we have in our account, it's written for the individual. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla, as the book of everybody's deeds, and certainly what they owe on the zakah, it will be there in the book. So the person, they have to make sure that they fulfill that obligation. So it's not permissible to deduct it from the zakah. For the sadaqah, however, that's something that a person, they can encourage their employer or their corporation that they work for to give some in charity. Like, for example, if a person that they work, like a particular corporation, they say, I'm going to give like $1,000 sadaqah to this charity, then the corporation will say, we're going to match that. We're going to give $1,000 to match the thing that you give in charity. So that's something that's good to do. So somebody they work for, a corporation, like some of these big corporations, you can give some to the school, Islamic school here. You can give some to the masjid, and they will match that. The corporation will match what you give, and that's something that's good to do, and that's something that is recommended to do.
Not the zakah.
Not the zakah, no. That's considered to be the sadaqah, and it wouldn't be considered to be the zakah for the most part. But it might be, the amount that you give might be the zakah, but the one that the corporation gives, you can't count that as, you're giving it. So that's what they give.
What about the question here, the other way around? Somebody deducts the amount they paid in zakat from their income taxes, like they have the tax deductible donation?
Yes. That's certainly allowed, because that's, they do have that on the tax form. If you give in some places in charity, you can remove it from your total income, the gross income, so then you pay less in the taxes. But the zakat is what's due on Allah. You paid that, and then what you pay in the taxes, then you pay less in the taxes, and that's okay. That's allowed.
Is it affecting your niyyah? Like some people, they give the donation because they know it's tax deductible. They don't. Does that change if their intention was not sincerely only for the sake of Allah, but also they wanted to save on their taxes? Would that harm their zakat?
Well, this is something that comes afterwards. A person, they give for the sake of Allah, then to reduce their taxes, that's not with it. That's something that follows up along with it. So the one action is considered to be to get the reward for, and the other one reduces the taxes. That's separate from it. And besides, if a person, let's say a person that they do give in the charity, do they get that back from the taxes? No. Like, let's say a person, they owe taxes on $50,000, for example, and they gave $5,000 in charity. Do they get the $5,000 back from the taxes? No. The amount that a person, instead of owing it on the $50,000, they owe it on the $45,000. So actually, they end up paying more for that. So it's not like that they're getting any benefit from it. They're still given much from their own expense. Now, and the other thing is, this is something that's not forbidden. So certainly a person can do it, and it doesn't make the action any worse. It doesn't negate the good deed. If a person, they do something that's halal, it will not negate the good deed that a person they do. And a person, they do it for the sake of Allah, Allah will give a reward for it. Okay, so a person, if they have the taxes, a person, they cannot say that this is my zakah. Paying the taxes, that's not allowed. Rather, a person, they have to pay the zakah separate from their taxes. Okay, so let's go to the next question. Is that clear? Is there any questions on this issue?
It's clear.
Okay, sure. Any questions, brother? Are you following along? Am I speaking too fast, or am I explaining the things? Okay, sure. I don't want to go too quick and not follow. Okay. So let's go to the next question, inshallah, on number 100. So you see the numbers here are a little bit different, because what we did is they had 100 questions on the Darul Iftah, and they had various topics, so we've organized them in the different sections. Some on the zakat, on the agriculture, some on the investments, zakat al-fitr. So that's why you see these numbers are a little bit, you see question number one. So these questions and answers, they're on their website. If you go on the website of Darul Ifta, they're there, and they're there in English as well. So it's not just in Arabic. So if you go there, you can see these questions, and these are the exact answers that they have. And also, they have a link. You can click on it, and it will show the, you know, the full answer from the Darul Ifta. And also, they have the questions and answers by Sheikh Ibn Baz as well. Sheikh Ibn Baz, may Allah mercy upon him. So they have, it's a very good site. The person can go there and look at the questions and answers, and also do a search too. For the person they have, you know, they want to search for a term, they can click on it. So this is very nice, coming right from Mecca Mukarrama, from the place where the ulama, they give the answers to the questions. Okay, so let's go to the next question. Question number 100. Is the salah of a person who does not pay zakah out of negligence and miserliness valid? Okay. Is the salah of a person who does not pay zakah out of negligence and miserliness valid? Okay, so this goes back to the question, what makes a person a kafir? And what does not make a person a kafir? So basically, when you look at this question, this is a question on the aqidah, on the faith. You know, what makes a person a kafir and what makes a person not a kafir? So normally speaking, when you look at the actions, the things that people they do, in the past you had the methodology of the Khawarij. What they said is, if anybody did any sin, they were a kafir. They're going to go to Jahannam and be there forever. That was their methodology. That was their saying. And that is completely wrong. No, because if a person, a Muslim person, if they do a sin, you know, they're not a kafir. They're not going to go to Jahannam. They just committed a sin. So what makes a person a kafir actually is the aqidah, is the thinking, is the belief. And as we know, we have to believe in, you know, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have to believe in the oneness of Allah. But also we have to believe in the other things that follow along with it. So if a person, they say they believe in La ilaha illallah, but they don't believe that Muhammad is the messenger, that person is a kafir. He's in the Jahannam. If a person, they say there's another prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person is a kafir. So what you find is the ulama karam, they explain to us what determines if a person is a kafir, a disbeliever, and what determines if a person, they are not a kafir. And basically kafir, what that refers to rejecting. In the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with a message, you know, some people accepted it, they were the believers. Some people rejected it, they were the kafirs. So what happens nowadays, we have the message of Islam, and what happens is, for the people that are believers, they have to accept it wholeheartedly. They should not reject any of it. So when you look at the issue of the zakat, that's something that is well known in the religion, ma'lum min ad-deen wa darura. All of the Muslim scholars, all of the true Muslims, they say that zakat is part of the deen. So if somebody, they reject that, they deny it, you know, then they are considered to be a kafir, a disbeliever. So this is what the ulama, they go by. The things that are ma'lum min ad-deen wa darura, the things that are well known in the religion, if a person, they reject that, they're considered to be a disbeliever, a kafir. And one of the things about the zakah is, if a person, they deny the obligation of the zakah, then going by that rule, they would be considered to be a kafir, a disbeliever. However, if a person, if they don't pay their zakah, not out of denying its obligation, just out of miserliness or negligence or disobedience, then that person does not become a kafir. That person is still a believer. However, he did a sin, he did something that was sinful, and he should do the tawbah for it, and he should reconciliate for it. He'll do something to make up for it. No. So anyway, no, this is, you know, something that we study in the aqidah, which is very, very important. Very, very important. Because, you know, you see these things that are sins. You know, if a person, if they do these sins, then hopefully Allah will forgive them. But if a person, if they lose their faith, if they're a kafir, you know, Allah won't forgive them. وَلَّنْ تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَةَ مَنْ The repentance is not accepted from a person that keeps doing the sin and then he dies, and then he says, you know, I've repented. Or another person, if a person, if they disbelieved and they died, even if they had the whole world of gold to make up for it, that won't be accepted from them. This is what's mentioned in the Quran. So this is something of the utmost importance, to stay on the faith, to stay in the belief in the oneness of Allah. No, because a person, they lose that, all their actions don't count for them. No, but if they miss an action, then hopefully Allah will forgive them. We'll pray that Allah forgive them. So, you know, if a person, you see the next two questions here, if a person does not pay the zakat out of negligence, then hopefully, you know, afterwards in the future, the person will turn to Allah and repent to Allah and try to make up for it. And then, you know, then Allah will forgive him for the sin. But that does not take a person out of the fold of Islam. The person, they still stay in the fold of Islam, just they committed a big sin. And then also, if you look at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people that did not pay the zakah, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do for them? Did he say, just let them go? No, that's okay, no, they're not going to pay the zakah. No, actually, if you look in the books of fiqh, you find that what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, he forced them to pay the zakah. He forced them. The people that owed the zakah, they didn't pay it. It was forced upon them to pay the zakah. And also, he inflicted a penalty upon them. He would take half of their wealth as well. Really, you know, if you look in the books of knowledge, that's what is mentioned. The people that refused to pay the zakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would force them to pay it, and then as a penalty, he would take half of their wealth. You know, that's what happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you look at that in some of the narration, that's what's mentioned. But anyway, this person here, they don't become a kafir, they don't become a disbeliever out of not paying it, out of negligence. And however, you know, that person, he should be, you know, like was mentioned in the time of Rasulullah, that person should be obliged to pay the zakat, not left alone and without paying the what's due. So, you know, if a person, if they do that and they pray the salah, of course, their salah is valid. The salah counts, you know, because the person is still a believer. If you look at the next question, number 99, if a person, they deny the obligation of the zakah, they say a person, they don't have to pay the zakah. How much time do we have left? It's 6:30, right? Another half hour? Okay, good. Good, inshallah. So the person, they deny having to pay the zakah. They say zakah is not part of the deen. No. The person, they don't have to pay the zakah. Then that person, they become a kafir. No, that's what is mentioned. If you look at the rules of the fiqh, the takfir, what makes a person a kafir. So if a person, they're a kafir, no, then all the actions they do is not counted for them. It doesn't count. So a person, they should not deny the obligation of the zakah. It's not just the belief in the la ilaha illallah, and the Muhammad Rasulullah, but also one has to believe in all the tenets of the deen. All of the lalu min ad-deen wa darura, all the things that are well known in the deen to be considered a believer. If anybody, they deny any of them, then they're considered to be a disbeliever. And this is what's mentioned in the books of ilm, the knowledge, and this is how one is determined to be a believer and a disbeliever. And if somebody, they are a disbeliever, and we hope that before that person they die, you know, they remove that thinking and then they turn in repentance to Allah and become a believer. So it's not just the belief in the oneness of Allah, but also the things that are attached to it. The person, they believe in Allah alone, they have to believe in Allah's religion. They have to believe in the tenets. You know, and the zakah is one of the main things, the arkan, the pillars of the religion. And you know what happens is we hope that in the future the person will remove this evil thinking and this wrong thinking and purify himself and remove this wrong idea and wrong thought, and then he'll be considered to be a believer again. Allah willing, inshallah. No. But now the other issue comes up, a related issue. Let's say a person, they are incompetent. You know, they are autistic or retarded, and they have no concept of the religion. You know, then obviously that person is not going to believe in No, because he doesn't understand the concept of illusion. So how is that person judged? Is that person a disbeliever in that case?
No, not necessarily.
That person would be put in the category of the people of fitra. You know, like a baby that dies before it's born, or somebody that never heard about Islam, or, you know, something like that. And the ulama karam, like Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will test them. And even he mentions the test that Allah will give to them. Allah will make a fire. And he will tell the people to jump into that fire, and the ones that jumped into it, they will be saved. They will be considered to be believers, but the one that refused, they would have failed the test. So if somebody, they're like that, if somebody is incompetent, they don't have any sanity, you know, then that person will be given the different test. Now, what question comes up? No, this is what the ulama, they talked about. How is a person considered to be lunatic or incompetent? What is the level? Well, because some people, they say, those people are crazy, crazy people. But actually, you know, they have the full competence. And the other people, they might be crazy, they say, oh, no, this is a regular person. So what is the determining factor that determines if somebody is incompetent? Ghayru aql. What's the word in Arabic? In that ghayru makluf?
Ghayru
makluf. Ghayru aql, no. No, because the conditions of the rules of Islam is the person, they have to have the aql. Okay, this over here, if you look in the books of fiqh, I looked up this subject before. And what the ulama, they say that the person, they look at the person, if that person is able to give a loan out. Is able to give a loan, and he's competent to understand to give a loan, to loan somebody some money, then that person is considered to be aql, competent. But if that person is weak in their thinking and cannot give a loan, then that person is considered to be incompetent. Because it's mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, wal yumlil waliyu bidalu waman kana safihan or da'ifan or la yastati'una. The person that is weak in understanding or weak, then let his guardian give the loan on his behalf. So that's what determines whether a person, they are competent or incompetent. Aql or ghayru aql, if that person has the understanding to give a loan out, or a person does not have the understanding of what he's doing when he gives a loan out. That's what's mentioned in the books of him. But let's look at the other issue. Let's say somebody is incompetent and he has a lot of money. Is the zakat due on that money or not?
Yes,
it is. So that's the other issue too. Even a young child, even though he's not above the age of puberty and the age of taklif, age of responsibility, still he has that wealth, and the zakah is due on that wealth.
So he's the guardian of the orphan,
yes,
who is,
yes,
going to manage, right?
Right, yes,
or
yes.
Shall,
yes, yes. The guardian of the orphan, he has to pay the zakah. Even the hadith says, that reminds me, the hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw one guardian of the orphan's wealth. And he said to him, invest it. Don't let it get eaten up by the zakah. No, that's the hadith, the authentic hadith that says that. So even the orphan, I think this question comes up later on actually, so a little more detail. So even the orphan, or the young child, he has to pay the zakat on the wealth. Or even somebody that is, not competent, he has to pay the zakat on it. Okay, the person who does not pay zakat, denying its obligation, is a kafir, right? That's true. So, the kufr is not just the belief in the oneness of Allah. When a person, they believe, when they're a believer, they have to believe in all the things that are attached to it. And what this means is to believe in everything that's well known, in the deen. And then what happens is in an Islamic government, an Islamic state, if somebody, they deny one of these obligations, that person is considered to be a murtad. And then what happens if that person is a murtad? What is the punishment? The death, right.
After being explained.
Right, exactly.
Trying to,
right. Person is given 3 days, to explain to him. Then after the 3 days, if he still know, denies that and says the things that are kufr, then that person is executed. The punishment is the death penalty in the Islamic law. And that's so that it keeps the whole society on the belief. You know, that's a reason for it. But then afterwards, if the person, if they realize, oh, I was mistaken, you know, zakah is part of the deen, well, then the person's left alone after that. He'll come to his senses. Okay, inshallah. So let's go to the next. There's a lot of other questions to cover. Yes, actually, oh, yes, that's the next question. Right, yeah, the next question is there.
When you close this section, because the next one is very interesting, if you know.
Well, okay, so the next page, okay. Right, so let's go to the next one. Do you have a printout?
The only thing here, I didn't get it, or maybe.
Yes.
When we mentioned the nisab,
yes,
but
yes.
Let's say on the gold and silver, and the countervalue of the cash money, but what is now the how much shall we pay in $612, for example?
Yes, okay, I'm sorry, that's a good point. I thought that this was very, everybody knew.
Yeah, but
it's 2.5%.
2.5%,
you pay
okay,
on there, so
clear.
I'm sorry
okay,
about that.
Yeah,
so we didn't mention that, but that's right. You pay, you know, 2.5%, 1/40th, or 1/4 of a 10th. In the Arabic, they say rubu ushr. Rubu ushr. Ushr means 1/10th, and rubu means 1/4th. So 1/4th of 1/10th, 2.5%.
What is tola stand? What I can in there it used for tola? 30 grams.
30 grams? You mean what's the minimum amount the zakah is due?
It's a weighting
grant.
No, weighting. You know, they have used word tola.
Oh, okay, I see.
You don't know.
Okay. Well, you have to give 1/40th. So if the whole weight is, you know, 100, then you give 2.5.
So 30 grams is equal to 1/4?
So, you know, if you have, if you have, like, for example, if you have, like 40 grams, for example, okay, well, let's say 400 grams, for example. 1/40th would be
30 grams, 1 ounce, I think. One ounce
is 30 grams. Let's say you have 40 tola.
Yeah.
And the zakat is due on it, you give 1 tola. Okay, so it's the same measurement. So you can change it to pounds or kilograms or any of the other things, just 1/40th of the same amount. So in the different places they have different weights and measures, and you just go by 1/40th of it, as long as it's above the minimal amount, above the nisab. Okay, so let's move on to the next section, inshallah, which is the second packet, the zakah on real estate and investments. The zakah on real estate and investments. Okay. The other thing, the thing to keep in mind about the things that are that are zakatable, some people, they think that everything you owe the zakat on, but actually it's the opposite. So things are not owed the zakat on except for what's mentioned in the texts. So it's the other way around. So when we look at the things, you know, we're going to see if there are some texts that support that the things, they do have the zakat on it. Then a person, they pay the zakat on it. And the other thing is, sometimes a person, they might have a particular object, but then if it's up for sale, it would be considered to be merchandise. So then in the beginning, it's not, the zakat is not due on it, but because of the fact that, you know, it's up for sale, it's considered to be merchandise, then it becomes the zakat. The zakat is due on it afterwards. And these things are here, and it's very important for a person to understand these things and remove the confusion. No, so that they know what the laws of Allah Azawajal, what He ordains for us, and so that we follow it. And also the other thing is, also many of the ulama, they say, if a person, if they have something, and they, the zakah is due on it, a person should, they should not do schemes, those that prevents the person from paying the zakah. Now, like for example, a person, they have the money, for example, well, the zakah is due on the money, but then a person, they just buy something without any necessity, without any need, just to remove that obligation of the zakah, then that would not be allowed. He still has to pay the zakah on it. And that's what the ulama, they say. So the person, they should not do these tricks, you know, to avoid the zakah that's due on it, but rather, you know, they should be generous, you know, and give for the sake of Allah. And again, we have to follow, you know, the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to learn them and understand them and go by that, not by the feelings or the hawa, and not by all the whims that come. Okay, so let's go to the first question. Does everybody have the packet?
Yeah.
There, okay, sure. So question number 45, a man bought a piece of land to build a house on it. Many years have passed without building anything. Should he pay the zakah on it? And the answer to that is no. No, because what happens is, the zakah is only on the things that are mentioned in the text. So a person, if they own some land, or they own houses, even though it might be so much, even though it might be tens and millions of dollars, the zakah is not due on it. No? However, a person, they can pay the sadaqah, which is a non-obligatory charity, on it if he likes. But the zakah is not due on land.
One question. What if he wants to build a house to rent it, not to live in it?
Okay, renting it also, the zakah is not due on the property that he's using for rent. Only if it's for sale. And the reason that the zakah is due if it's for sale, because it's considered to be merchandise. You know, the ulama, all of the ulama and all the schools, they say if a person, they have a store. The thing that they have for sale in that store, if they kept it for 1 year and it's above the minimal amount, they have to pay the zakah on it. That's a zakah on merchandise. So when a person, they have the house, you know, it's not considered merchandise. But then when he goes to sell it, then it's considered to be like the merchandise, the inventory in the store, and that's the reason that the zakah is on it, for that reason. Is that clear on that?
I think the brother asked, if you rent the,
yes,
the
yes.
house, then after you start collecting rent, yes. shall the person pay the zakah on that?
Yes, that's actually on the third question down, so okay. So we'll get to that inshallah, after inshallah. No, on that. But the answer is that you don't pay the zakah on the house.
Until the niyyah is to build the house.
Even if you build a house on it, you don't pay zakat on the house.
Yeah, even if you build. But
right, yes. Yes.
First of all, you don't use
it. Right, yes. Yes. Okay. No, so these are the, because the thing is, you know, the zakat is due on the things that it's mentioned in the text that the ulama explained to us. Some people, they think that you have to pay zakat on every single thing. That's not the case. Just on those things mentioned in the text. Yes, sir. Okay, when you're deciding to sell it, you pay the zakah on it. When you change your intention,
you change your mind, then
you don't pay the zakah on it after that. But if you have the intention of selling it, then it's considered to be merchandise, and the zakah is due on it after 1 year. But then if you change your intention, you're going to keep it, then you don't have to pay zakah on it after. Okay, if it's more than 1 year, you got to pay it. If it's less than, you don't have to. So the 1 year is the cutoff point. No, this is what Allah, He commands us. So it's not based on one's feelings. You know, if a person, they say, okay, I feel I should pay the zakah on it. You know, I had this house for 6 months. You know? No, a person, it should not base their feelings, oh, I don't feel I have to pay. No, you got to look at the rules that Allah gave. You know, and it's mentioned in the books of fiqh. The ulama, they explain to us, as what was taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learn these things and we know what the zakah is here. So what happens is, the things that are not mentioned in the texts, the zakah is not due on them. Only on the things that are mentioned in the text. And this also applies not just if a person, they're a sole owner, but also if they're a partner. And likewise in the business, if a person, they're a partner in a business. And nowadays you have the corporations. No, that's actually a person or a partner in the business. So that applies as well. So, you know, the land that a person may have, you know, the zakah is not due on it. And if they build a house on it, or they build a building on it, the zakah is not due on it. No? Because these things, by default, the zakah is not due. Only what the ulama have explained to us. Only what they have, you know, taught to us. And if a person, if they have, you know, they have any questions about what's due and what's not, you can ask Imam Faisal, ask another person of knowledge, you know, they can tell you, you know, the rules pertaining to it. Now, so what happens is, you know, if a person, they have a particular item, a particular thing, then you got to look in the text to see if that is zakatable. And if it is mentioned, then you pay the zakat. If not, the zakat is not diwan. So on this land here that the person they have, they kept it for many years, the zakat is not due on that land. It's not due on that land. But then let's say a person, sometimes when you look at the land, a person, they might acquire such a large amount of land. Then they decide to sell a portion of it. Like they might find like 100 acres of land. Okay, I'm going to sell like 5 acres of the land. Then the zakat would be due on the 5 acres if they kept it for more than 1 year. If it was, because that would be considered to be merchandise, then they pay it on just the 5 acres, not on the whole land. Is that clear on that, on the things of zakat?
Do you pay for the previous years also, retroactively, or just for 1 year?
Just when you have the intention. Once you have the intention. Because in the previous years, it was not merchandise. It's not considered to be merchandise. But then when you decided to sell it, then it becomes merchandise. Then it's considered to be merchandise, and you pay it based on that ruling that it's merchandise. Okay, so now let's go to the next question. This is a continuation of the previous one. The zakah on property used for reselling. So for example, let's say a person may buy a house and they put the house up for sale, and after 1 year, if they didn't sell the house, they have to pay the zakah on it, on the rate of 1/40 for the house. Because that house is considered to be like the merchandise in a store. Just like a person, if they had a store and they bought what's a good example? They bought like some furniture, and they kept it in the store for 1 year, then they have to pay the zakah on that furniture. So similar to that for a property, the person, they have the property, and they're putting it up for sale, and it's used for reselling, it's considered to be merchandise, and the zakah is due. And let's go back, I think, we'll make sure that this is, explain this. What is the amount of zakah that's due?
1/40,
like 2.5%.
Yes, sir. And on a picture that's not even sold, and there's no value to it.
Well, you can pay it after he sells it.
Let's say I don't have the cash, and I sold the house for zero. The house is worth $100,000.
Yes, pay it after he sells it.
For a year or 2 years.
Yeah, you sell it afterwards.
So if the house was on market for 4 years,
yes,
and after 4 years he sells the house,
yes,
is he obliged to pay the zakah for the previous 4 years?
Yes, that's
from
right.
The day he put it on market, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Some of the ulama, they say the intention when you bought it.
Right,
if you bought it with the intention of being a trade good,
yes,
then you pay the account. You have to pay the account. If
when
you bought it, you intended to live in it.
Yes.
And then you change your intention.
Yes, so when you change your intention, that's when the year starts. The 1 year after that, then you pay. And the wisdom behind that is when you look at who is wealthy. It's not somebody that just has that wealth at one point in time, but he has that wealth for a whole year. He didn't need to spend that wealth for a whole year. He kept it with him for the whole year. So when you look at the house of the person that owned that house, that's a very wealthy person. Right? Isn't that true? Then that person's obliged by Allah to pay the zakat on it. And these things here, if a person, if they if they do own the house and it's up for sale, then the zakat is due on it if it's more than 1 year. And then if it's 2 years, the zakat is due again. And 3 years, it's due again.
So if a person moves from one state to another and he just sell on his house because he wants to move from one state to another, in that circumstances, will that sale be considered as a merchandise, or it's just like normal, he's living here, but still he puts the house on sale, because whenever he can sell the house, he can buy another one.
Okay, so he should try to sell it in less than a year. Then the zakat would not be due, because if he's sold it in less than a year, then the time is not, the 1 year hasn't passed. But if he's unable to sell it, then if it takes longer than a year, then he has to pay the zakat on it. But then if he sells it like after 6 months, he has the cash, then if he buys another house to live in, then the zakat is not due. He doesn't owe anything after that.
Another question.
Yes, sir.
If the person with his job is to buy house and sell it, sell. Okay. You can buy a house maybe every 6 months. You buy a house and sell. Another 6 months you buy a house and sell. How you can pay?
It's a business.
Yes. Yes. The amount is due on what he possesses is considered to be the merchandise, just like if a person they have a store. Let's say a person they have a gold store. They have so much in the inventory on the gold, they have to pay the zakah on it. Let's say a person they have a store with platinum, for example. The gold might be, you know, you look at the example where platinum. Platinum is very expensive. So the merchandise he has, even though if it's so much, he has to pay the 2.5%, you know, on the merchandise. So that's how it's looked at as houses too. For a person they have a business in buying and selling houses, you know, those houses are considered to be like merchandise. And you've got to pay the zakah.
He's saying that he sells it before the year passes. He buys another one.
Right.
So he's just changing from one form of the taxable wealth to another, right? So you don't have to start the hold over again. So he had the house for 6 months and then he sold it and he had cash for 6 months. He gets to pay the down the full amount.
Yeah. Okay, so if he has the house for 6 months, for sale for 6 months, then he sells it, he gets the cash for it.
Right. You don't start the hold over again. You start from the beginning.
Well, it would start, the cash would be a new hold, so it would start when you sold the house. And if you have the cash for 1 year, then you have to pay the zakah and the cash after.
I think the scholars, they say that if you go from one form of zakatable wealth to another, you don't start the hold over again. You know, see a businessman, you know, when he buys and sells goods throughout the year, but you look at the total amount, you know, the cash and the goods.
Okay, when you look at the merchandise, you add all the merchandise together. You know, like for example, for a person they have tables, for example, they have chairs, they have, you know, other types of furniture, or they even have other things that are merchandise, you add all of them together, and that's the amount that you have in the merchandise. Then at the end of the year, you do the same thing again, and what you had for the whole year, that's what's zakatable. That's what the zakat is due. If you have different categories of zakat. Like for example, you have gold, for example. Gold, let's say that you have, for gold, let's say you have the minimal amount is 84 grams of gold. So let's say you have 80 grams of gold. And then you have silver, you know, and the minimal amount of silver is like 590 grams. So let's say you have 400 grams of silver. So you don't join the two together. There's no zakat due on them. You don't join the gold or silver together. The other example, let's say you have merchandise. You have merchandise, and it's less than the nisab. And you have cash, and it's less than the nisab. You don't join the two together. So the different types are not joined together.
No, not the nisab, but for the hold. The hold, like, many people they have like a business account cash and they have merchandise and they buy and sell the merchandise. So they when they sell the merchandise they get cash. Then they use the cash they buy merchandise. So throughout the year they're always changing between the two types of wealth.
Right. Yes. I believe this here is a difference of opinion in the Madahib and the Hanafi school. I think they would say you have to pay it. Allah wa'alam, Allah knows best. We'll look in the books of fiqh and go into more detail. No, Allah wa'alam. No, because in one of the schools they say that, let's say that you have above the nisab, you have like, let's say you have $10,000. Then in the middle of the year it goes down to zero. But then after 1 year you have the 10,000. So normally speaking, because it went down below, you know, you wouldn't have to pay the zakah. But there is in one of the schools they say you still have to pay it. Because you look at the amount in the beginning of the year and the end, and then you go by that. So that's the view of the schools. But anyway, if you have a house, if it's for sale, it's considered to be merchandise, and then after 1 year, you have to pay the zakat on it. So Allah wa'alam, Allah knows best. Okay, so zakat on a property is used for reselling. But the other question that comes up, the zakah that one pays, is it the amount that one bought the property for, or is it the amount that one sells it for, the market price? And what I read from the sheikh is that the amount is not what one bought it for, but for the amount that one, the retail price, the market price when he sells it. So for example, if you buy a house over here, you know, let's say the house is dilapidated, pay $10,000 for the house, fix it up, you know, then it becomes worth $100,000. So you pay the zakah on the $100,000 if it's for sale, and if 1 year has passed, you pay it on the $100,000. Yes, sir? You'll take the break, okay. Okay, inshallah, so let's stop over here. Should we have any questions now, or? Okay, is there any questions, inshallah, before we take the break? Yes, sir. You take a break? Okay, sure.
Okay. Continue after Maghrib. Have the food and then after Maghrib.
Okay, Imam Faisal, he said that, you know, we'll take a break over here and we'll continue after Maghrib. Subhanallah, wa bihamdi.